Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Today, I want to talk to you on the topic of the cause. The cause. You see, we can, if we're not careful, just show up to church on Sunday and tick the box. We can show up and say, you know, look at all the things that our church is doing. But as an individual, we can actually just show up when it's convenient, when it fits in. But we must remember that we actually came into this environment because of the cause of Jesus Christ. And as I look at the cause of Jesus Christ, I realize when I look at that video, I don't know if you saw the statistics, but 905,000 people in the country, which it was interesting because when the Prime Minister just 2 weeks after of your country, of Fiji, came to your church just a few weeks ago, he came and Brad was saying he showed him a video from his granddaughter videoing what you just saw on stage because his granddaughter got impacted in a high school and went to the night meeting and I met his daughter and because they came to the event with all their kids because this granddaughter was so impacted at school that she actually went to the event. And here's the thing, on Saturday night it was live to the whole nation. And it was on Fiji TV. Now, in Australia, if we said that on one of our commercial networks, that could be just a few hundred thousand people. In a nation of 25 million, not so significant. But in their nation, when Fiji TV puts a broadcast on Saturday night, if they put the rugby on, they can get up to 700,000 people watching in a nation of 900,000. That's unbelievable. They predict for our night, 2.5 hours live, totally what happened in the venue was going to homes all over the nation, between 400,000 to 500,000 people were watching and 50,000 people in the stadium. Now, which is incredible, but if you understand the power of a tipping point, you only need 8 to 10% of a population to see something, to be impacted by it, to start to progress change. So I started to think about it in the context of the church. And I started to think, I don't want to just see it in Fiji, which is awesome. I don't want to just see it in PNG, which is awesome. I want to see it in the Shire. I want to see it in Sydney. I want to see it in the nation of Australia. So what can we do? Because we are those people. We need to be those people that rise up, not just attend church. Boring. Just go to another club. It's called church. No, no. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is his purpose on earth. We pay a part. And here in the book of Philippians, Paul writes to, and he says this, Philippians 1 verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. How can Paul be saying greater progress when you realize what he's in? See, so often we complain about what we have in our prosperity. Sometimes we're consumed with everything's good when we've got money, when we've got an opportunity, when something's happened. But Paul, we find here, is in prison and he's still making the statement, greater purpose. Church, I want you to understand that God, whether you're restrained or you're good, he has a purpose, he has a plan, he has a cause. And it says this in verse 13, so that my imprisonment, he's in prison. I don't know too many people that are in prison. It's easy to say, thank you, God, for what you did in Fiji. But if I was in prison, would I be standing before you? Well, I wouldn't be because I'd be in prison. But if I was, would I be standing here saying, for the greater progress, God, you're doing such great things in my life. In the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, he suddenly realizes that even in his constraint, it has purpose. We need to recognize that whether we're high or we're low, whether we're abounding or we're abasing, we're not having much. We need to recognize that God is in the center of it all. And have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear because of my containment is what Paul is saying. The cause of Christ refers to purpose. God has a purpose for you and a purpose for you and a purpose for you and a purpose for you. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. So the greatest cause that we can live is His cause, to live out our purpose in everything that we do in life. Paul taught us that his life was completely dedicated to Christ. I am not my own, he said. You know, a few years ago when we started the Believe campaign, we decided to go to Papua New Guinea. And, you know, Pastor Brad, you got great leaders here, and Pastor Brad and Allison, you know, doing a phenomenal job and believing that Dunsborough will take off so that I can go and preach there one day. Because Dunsborough Church, if you want to go on a mission trip to one of your church locations, go to Dunsborough. I'm just saying. But anyway, but Brad has sown into PNG for many, many years before we even went there. And it's those seeds and other people's seeds that we're actually seeing God come through on the back of. But, you know, the first time I went in 2015, I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, not expecting to get any response, had no connection to him. And to our amazement, he wrote back and said, come and see us. So I took two business people and we got on a plane by faith and we arrived in the country, and a special business envoy, a guy actually who resides, well, he doesn't really live in PNG most of the time, but he's got a house here in Sydney, and not a Christian guy. And we arrive in the car, and this guy is a special business envoy to the Prime Minister. So he's checking us out. So I get in the car, and you know when you're being checked out, you're supposed to put your best foot forward, and you're supposed to say things. And because this guy's not a spiritual guy, I'm trying to think of all the natural right things to say. But who knows, when you try to perform, it doesn't work. So anyway, I'm sitting in the front seat of the car, and I'm saying things like, you know, what's the greatest need in the country? And and I was expecting him to say unemployment and other things. He said, right now, the greatest need in Port Moresby is rain. It hasn't rained for 18 months. And I said to him, well, I believe it's going to rain by the end of the day. Now, literally, it's one of those came out of my mouth, and I'm trying to go, put all that back. What are you saying? The context is, the scripture God gave us was from 1 Kings. Go and tell the king a heavy rain is coming. And so as soon as he said that, it triggered in me, it's going to rain by the end of the day. But that was a stupid thing to say, because I only had a few hours left. He looked at me and he says, well, that'll be your first miracle. And it wasn't like a positive statement, I can tell you. We went into a few meetings, and anyway, we were sitting at a cafe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in PNG. If you've been to PNG, suddenly a smell came across. Now, that's not unusual in PNG, but on this occasion, it was a smell, and the smell was of rain. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, particularly in Asia, when a big storm's about to come. There's nothing better than, oh, that smell. It's like brings hope and promise. We're sitting at the table. I turned to him. I said, that smells like rain. Maybe a little bit of spiritual pride came on me, or maybe a lot. And anyway, I'm looking at him and he goes, not a chance, not a chance. Well, in the next 20 minutes, it started to rain. It rained solidly for 3 hours. The thing is, it didn't then rain again for 6 months in Port Moresby. Now, was that a coincidence? Was that by chance, or whew, how lucky was that? Thank God that happened. Oh, my credibility was on the line. But how many of us live our lives that way with everything that's going on in our lives? Oh, I just bumped into this person. Oh, this just happened. But I want to tell you, there's nothing, when you understand that the cause of Christ is central to everything we do, that is by chance. That person you're working with right now is not by chance. That family situation is not by chance. God will use whatever the circumstance for His greater gain. Tonight, I want to ask you the question, are you caught up with the cause of Jesus Christ? It's not about how it feels, but it's about where you're at in relationship with Him. So I started to read a book a few months ago a few years ago now, and it was called The 6 Degrees of Separation. It's a theory that basically talks about that we are all linked by the chains of acquaintance, and we're only 6 degrees separated from the next person. I don't know if you've ever traveled and you've been in an airport. I was on a bus recently going between one terminal to another in Dubai. And I'm talking to this person next to me. In the little trip that we had, by the time we'd finished speaking, he lived in England. I lived most of my life in Perth in Western Australia. And by the time we'd finished talking, we realised that both of our mothers lived three doors apart for their whole child life. And you think, wow, isn't that coincidental? 7.6 billion people on the earth. But maybe we need to adjust our thinking, church. Maybe we need to realize that maybe if it's true, we're only 6 degrees of separation from the next, we could bring the Shire. Rather than just seeing different people, we could suddenly realize that it's only, if all of us got intentional, it's only 6 people apart from us winning this place. It's only 6 people apart from us touching New South Wales. And I started to get excited as I read it, but I wasn't sure if it was just a theory or it was true. So along came 10 years ago, Microsoft. They came along a lot further than that. But Microsoft commissioned a study. This was before the privacy laws came in, obviously. And they commissioned a study of 7 billion pieces of electronic communication. And they ran it through a survey and they did this whole thing and they discovered that it wasn't true that we are 6 degrees separated. It discovered that we are only 6.6 degrees of separation from every person on the earth. And I started to think that, ask of me, and I'll give the nations. I started to think of some of the things that we believe, but we don't believe. But then they came up with 3 points of connection. How do you actually, you know, what are the points of connection that link us all together? And if we intentionally can understand what they are, maybe we could actually change the fabric of our ability to reach the earth. Maybe Horizon isn't here just to have a good meeting on Sunday. Maybe it's here for something greater, something far greater. So let's apply these 3 areas of connectivity together. The first is transaction. A transaction is, what do I get at its premise? With a transaction, most of us understand what it is. If you employ the plumber to come because your drain is blocked, he comes to your house and your expectation is you'll pay a fee and the plumber will come at that allotted time. I don't know about you if it's here in New South Wales, but I hate this new thing, or recent thing of trades where they say they'll come between 8 and 12, or do you want them between 1 and 5? And 8 till 12 always ends up being 1:30. We got caught on another job. I thought I was the first job. Anyway, that's just my own little problem. And but the point is that the plumber's coming. You're going to pay them. They're going to do a job. They're going to leave. Transaction. But imagine if we started to think to ourselves, the plumber's coming to our house, and yes, we're going to pay him to do the job, but this could be one of my 6.6 people. Suddenly, we have a different worldview of why we're doing what we're doing, not just letting time pass us by. But what about church life? If we're intrinsically connected together, if we're here for the cause of Christ, then maybe we're going to have to break the stats. It's probably not the true in the Shire and as it is in New South Wales, but in Victoria, this is the stat. I think it's globally the stat too, but I think New South Wales could be left out of this. I'm not sure. But the way you actually average a church is on the basis of people attending church twice a month. That's the new statistic of the last 20 years, that you actually average size of a church is based on. And many people, because of many factors, come to church once or twice a month. I know it doesn't happen here, but imagine if people got intentional and they came more than that. Imagine if they came and they came to this place to get connected, to get stirred, to get, you know, reinforced about what it is that the cause of Christ means to them. Who knows, we might just progress a bit faster. We might actually step into all God has for us. We've got to break beyond the lowest common denominator, which is the transaction, the lowest form of connection. Here's the next one. It sounds more like the church. The next one that Microsoft came up with is relationship. Relationship. How do I feel? So really, we've got to break beyond what do I get, which is such a hedonistic worldview, and the transaction that we have. But the next thing is relationship, and it sounds good, but it's based on how do we feel. And feeling is not necessarily the strongest foundation to build something on. But it's amazing how we can be in relationship with somebody and we think we're at one place and they think they're at another. Have you ever been in a car? Well, I have with my wife. What is it about being in one compartment? You're both in the same place, but she has to have the air conditioning on 28 degrees and I need to have it on the lowest possible fan speed that you can have. Thank God that cars have been invented with both, but the problem is when the vent skews towards you and you're getting hot air and it's like, turn that thing away. But we're sitting right next to each other in the same environment, same atmosphere, but can feel entirely different. Well, it's the same with relationship. You know, the Rugby World Cup's on at the moment, and if all the last night we lost, so, you know, praise God, unless you're England. I'm actually born in England, so, you know, what do I do with that? No, I'm a Wallabies fan, sort of. And anyway, so if I was going out with a girl, you know, I've got a girlfriend and a boyfriend. The girlfriend is thinking about that boy 56 times in the 4 hours that he's gone out with his friends to the rugby. She's assuming that because he's focused on the rugby, he might not think about it so much. So she's thinking he's at least thought about it 26 times. I just want to put you out of your misery. He hasn't thought about you once while he's watching the rugby with his friends. How is that possible? Because relationship, although it's important, although we all need it, that isn't the premise on what we came together on. Oh, it's so bad when we're in a church environment like this and somebody leaves. They might go to another state. They might get upset with the church or whatever. Our church doesn't feel the same anymore. We never came here because of a feeling. We came here because we connected to the cause of Christ. We came here because there was something in us that brought us together that was so dynamic that made us feel like we were a part of what we were purposed to be on earth to do. The cause of Jesus Christ is far greater than just a feeling. It's far greater than what do I get? What about in a small group? We have quite an aggressive small group growth program in our church. And so every year we partition our small groups on average once per year. But some of our groups get as big as 30 or 40 people. And there's like three or four rows in the lounge room of someone's house. And people love it. They're like, wow, I've got the best small group. It's not a small group, folks. That's like as big as some churches. But anyway, it's there. And so the leadership, you know, we need to partition that. And we partition it three ways if it's that big. Suddenly it goes from being this big group to like eight people in a room. And who knows that when you've got eight people in the room and of them there's you and your wife and there's six others and you don't know the six others, it's an awkward night. It doesn't feel that good. You've always got someone who talks too much because they're nervous. You've got someone else who asks all the questions, not in your small groups, but in ours back home. And then there's just the agitator, the person that's just like that family member that you never want to show up to a family do, but we've all got one in our family. And in the small group that I used to love with 38 people, now we've got this group, and can we just go back? No. Because we're doing this for the cause of Christ. We're doing this to expand. We're doing this to do what God has positioned us here to do. And we need to recognize that the premise of the cause is not how I feel, what do I get? But the cause of Jesus Christ is about what His purpose is for each of our lives. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one. You've heard this at many, many weddings. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who fails and has one to help them up, or falls and has one and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, this is the poetic bit that feels so good. They will keep warm. And at that moment, people are crying as the wedding ceremony's unpacking. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. But church, I want you to understand something. I've read this as a minister at weddings, so I'm not saying this as a counter story. But we need to understand that the premise of this text wasn't feeling based. The premise of this text is actually making a vow not to a partner, but to God. and saying, I'm going to stay locked in regardless. I'm going to have a relationship with a friend, but I'm also going to have a relationship with you, God, because I know that you are the glue that's going to cause this to be together. So when we come to church like we do, we're not based on, oh, it felt good today. Oh, I really like that speaker. It'd be awesome if he was our pastor. Oh, I don't like that guy. I hope he never comes back. And I know we don't do that, but we sort of do. Because we base things on how we feel. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the hedonistic society that's consumed with how we feel. What's going on? What's happening in my life? And we don't step into what God has purpose for us. There's a purpose that's way beyond where you sit here today. And I want to encourage you, the cause of Jesus Christ. But then Microsoft finishes with its third thought, and it's this, a cause. It actually says that the most dynamic form of connection is around a cause. But it goes on, and this is Microsoft, not the Bible, but it sounds like the Bible. It actually says a higher purpose of spiritual value. So we're not just in a club here today. We're not just here to tick the box I've gone to church. We're here today because we're part of something far greater than any individual. We're part of the cause of Jesus Christ. It's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to recognize that we're stepping into all that He has for each one of us. They went on to say that married people with shared goals is like this, not just married people, because that's just about relationship, but married people with shared goals. When the shared goals are about the children, that is the greatest form of marriage breakup in our society today, because they made it about something that's going to change and then the marriage can't sustain. But imagine if the whole family is focused on the cause of Jesus Christ. Imagine if the whole family is caused on His purpose for each of them individually and us collectively. Then maybe we're going to stay together. It's not always going to feel good, because guess what? The church is a great place, but it'd be even better if there was no people in it. So then we'd have no problems. We're not here for how we feel. We're not here for what do we get. We're here for the ultimate objective, the cause, which actually the premise is, what do I give? So I come each week and I say, what am I going to give? What am I going to contribute? How am I going to add to what is happening? Because I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for what I get. I'm here for the cause of Jesus Christ. What do I give? See, our common partner isn't each other. Our common partner is Jesus. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He's a foundation that we can build something that will last. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. The musicians can come, or the whole band can come. I talked to you about the rain. It's good that it came, but just not long after that, my friend Alf, who's become a good friend now, the business envoy, who I was trying to build credibility with, says to me, Pastor Neil, there's actually been a vote of no confidence in Parliament today, which is a common thing that happens in some of these developing nations, but the Prime Minister can't meet you because he's got some stuff he's got to take care of to make sure his party's in order. Now, that's how it was put to me, and I would like to say my response was, of course, whatever. But I just spent 3 air tickets to fly to PNG to meet the Prime Minister. I don't think that was the worst thing. The worst thing was how I felt. My pride was on the line. I told every one of my friends, I'm going to meet the Prime Minister in this nation on this day. Can you get your whole church praying? Everybody around the world's praying. And I'm like, I'm not even going to see it. Isn't it amazing how we respond more often to our pride, to our feelings, to what do I get? Then we do take a step back and say the cause of Jesus Christ. He says, so we've got the finance minister going to meet you. He said he's probably 4th or 5th in power in the parliament, but he's a good guy. And I was like, I don't care if he's a good guy. I was really like knotted up on the inside. I meet the guy, he walks into this room that we've got, and I meet him and I go, hi, I'm Neil, and his name was James. He says, hi, I'm James. And I said, nice to meet you. He says, I've only got 15 minutes. There's a lot going on in Parliament today. And I want to tell you, I nearly said, but I learned from the rain thing. I nearly said, you've only got 15 minutes. I've come from Australia, my friend. I've paid all this money. You can take your 15... No. But on that occasion, I had restraint. But I was not happy. I'm sitting in the meeting. The meeting ended up going for an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, actually. He said, I've got to go. We talked about some of the things that we could do. Not just the big events like you see there, but the ongoing things. Over the next 4 years, every time I went to PNG, I'd go and catch up with James. I saw him many, many times. We'd end up sitting in restaurants for hours into the night talking about different things. November last year, he shows up to our meeting. This time he shows up in his shorts, his T-shirt, and his thongs. I'm in my full suit. I look at him, I say, James, I'm glad you're dressed for the occasion. He said, you're my friend. Why would I have to dress up? Fast forward to about 10, 12 weeks ago. I get a text in the staff prayer meeting. It's got a picture of my friend James. He said, Neil, don't tell anybody, but I'm soon going to head to Parliament House. I had the privilege of being asked by both parties, major parties, to stand for Prime Minister. You would have seen Peter O'Neill resigned. He said, a unique thing has happened. In the Parliament of PNG, we're about to vote. They ended up voting 107 sitting members, 101 voted for him, which is like first time in history, a majority of that magnitude. He texts me to say, I'm going to Parliament House. Don't tell anybody, you'll be out on the news tonight, but I'm going to need your help going forward. Imagine if I'd said, who are you? I don't even want the 15 minutes. I'm getting on the plane going home. But how often do we make our responses on how we feel? How often do we get caught? And what am I going to get? Not recognizing that the providence of God is going before you. Sometimes it's delayed. As Pastor Brad was saying in Dunsborough, sometimes it's fast forwarded. But we've got to go with what God's plan is. The cause of Jesus Christ goes beyond. What do I get? How do I feel? But God, I'm here. I surrender my life. So I want us to stand to our feet right across the room. The great thing is that I know this church is a church of the Holy Spirit, but He's already here. Holy Spirit, do what you alone can do in this place. But maybe some of you, just like me, 15 minutes, I've got caught in what do I get? Got caught in how I feel. And forgotten that our primary mandate for you and for you, for you, for you, is His cause, His purpose, His plan, His mandate. So we can't forget that He's got a plan for each and every one of us. I don't want to watch videos about Fiji. Not see it in my own suburb, in my own nation, in my own city. God, I want to be a part of your cause. It's for the whole earth. But maybe, just maybe, just maybe, we as the church in the West have got consumed with, what do I get? How do I feel? And we're not bridging the gap of 6.6. Come on, church. We're not here. There's plenty of other clubs you can go and join. We're not here for a club. This is the only club that exists for the members that haven't yet joined. You don't sign up and get all your membership benefits. You sign up and you start giving your benefits to other people. I will give. The greatest, most endearing thought. Microsoft, when I was reading it, thought they had some great revelation. Good on them for doing it, but for me, as I read the parallel, I thought, wow, this has been in the Word for over 2,000 years. And His plan is still the same today. But you may need to say, I've got to freshly position myself. So we're going to sing that song just through once. I want you right where you are to lift your hands. Now, I'm not getting you to lift your hands because we're Pentecostals and we lift our hands. We do that as a universal sign of surrender generally, but I want you to do it for this reason. We can't do this without Jesus. He's our central connection. He's the point of which we rally around. He is the cause. making him famous, bringing glory to his name, which the word glory, actually, the synonym is excellence, being the most excellent we can in whatever sphere of life we're in. I'm telling you, church, sometimes you just got to bring it right back to, I connect to you. And as it's funny because Brad played, I haven't heard this song for years. In fact, I was talking with the writer of it just a few months ago in Scotland, England, Mal Fletcher. And we were talking about this song. And yesterday, without a word of a lie, I put it on in my car. And my wife said, what have you got this on for? This is old. So when I heard it this morning, it's like, wow. But I believe he wants to do something right now. Can we get out of how we feel? Can we get out of what do I get? Can we get back into the place of why we're all here? For the cause of Jesus Christ. And so as we lift our hands, it's not lifting universal sign of surrender. It's lifting our hands like the little child that goes, I'm not quite sure what to do. I don't know what to do next. There's a little bit of danger ahead. And when they feel that, they throw their arms up and say, Daddy, Daddy, pick me up. And nothing changes, but the truth is everything changes in His presence. So come on. We want that 6.6 degree gap to be separated, to be pulled in. But it starts with us reconnecting. It starts with us getting right. Come on, as we sing it right now, why don't we all lift our hands?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.